Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. Got a little interview, more relaxed one. We got our guy, Chris the Entertainer, on, the King of Giants YouTube. We're going to try and do some entertaining for you. We talk about training camp ideas that we want to do, and just the Giants in general. Justin, what's going on? Happy Memorial Day.
Hey, Bobby Skinner.
Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. That's what I was going to lead off with. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Was it sunny by you in Florida?
Very sunny. Nice weekend at the beach. I left the barbecue to come record the intro outro for this interview. So,
oh, good.
I wasn't too happy about that, but it's like, you know what? I should have planned better. So here we are. Happy Memorial Day.
Here we are. Rainy, cloudy weekend. Went to the Yankee game on Monday. Didn't do great. Not going to go back until they actually show signs of life. I very much felt like I was sitting at a 2017-2018 Giants game where, I guess 2018 yet Saquon, but 2017 Giants game where you just didn't know the next time that the offense was going to score points. 2016-2017, I'll say that. So you just didn't know the next time that the Yankees are going to score a run or the Giants were going to score a point. I got a little PTSD sitting at the Yankee game today. So yeah, Chris the Entertainer, we had a fun time. I'm learning that Chris is very much a person who works extremely hard at what he does. I knew that. But also, just in the moment, he's going to do. Because he's like, I didn't really think about trading camp stuff. So we talked about it during the interview. But meanwhile, Bobby and I think we're the type of people where we like to methodically think about things. Like, we actually were having a conversation pre-show about what our week is going to look like on YouTube during the regular season.
They screwed us with the Thursday night football week, too. Like, the first week of the season is like, I want to, there's a nice Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So the last 2 years, we get a Monday night football game. And then now we have a Thursday night football game. So the NFL lives to screw this podcast schedule on week one. Speaking of, you went to the Yankee game. When I go to training camp, we're going to go to a Yankee game.
You know what? You know what's funny? We have a ESP. We're good friends. We're podcast co-hosts. Do you know what that means, ESP?
Nope.
When I say that, I don't know what it stands for, but I think it means like we're in sync. Our brains and our thoughts are in sync. So because we're such great friends, we have ESP. I was thinking about that walking to my car. When Bobby comes up for training camp, you know, you're going to be up here for a whole week. So we should definitely make our way to a Yankee game, and we should see.
That's my only team I've never been to a game for, too. I've been to Giants, Nets, and Devils, no Yankee games.
We should see if some of our friends at our media company, they have friends that have a suite. We should see if we should utilize
You're
that.
Bougie ass. Now, where you're sitting, I'm sitting in the bleachers. I want the bleachers.
Bleachers?
Yeah, I'm sitting with Joe's McFly, not with the freaking up in the box or whatever. All right, Justin, before we kick it to the interview, this episode is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Just like we're the top-rated Giants podcast, they're America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is pitting you courtside with the chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. So you're sitting courtside, you could throw stuff at the players, it's a grand old time. That's right, pick any basketball team that is still in contention. The Nets are, Celtics aren't, sorry, even though they are, but they're not. Bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. And before I do the call to action, I do want to say that I love that Celtics fans booed the crap out of Kyrie, chanted on Kyrie. Obviously, the water bottle thing you can't have, but I love that. But I also love that Kyrie stepped on the logo, and that is different. And, you know, some people will be like, oh, people step on the logo all game. They go, there's a difference between what Kyrie did. And what's up, police? There's a difference between what Kyrie did and just, you know, running over the logo as the game goes on. So people like playing go, oh, people step on it all the time. What's the big deal? Like, Kyrie did that on purpose. So Celtics fans should feel slighted by that. But I have seen it was like, wow, Kevin Garnett and Glenn Davis like, this is disrespectful. And did you listen to what your fans said to him? Like, get out of here.
This is competition.
And this Kevin Garnett who called Charlie Villanueva a cancer patient. He's on Tim Duncan's mother had died and he wished him a happy Mother's Day on Mother's Day at the free throw line.
Also, isn't this what people want? Don't people want this in sports? Don't people complain about there being too much buddy-buddy? And I'm low-key one of this, even though I'm a relatively younger person. You know, there's too much buddy-buddy in sports. All the superstars, you know, they're friends with each other. They want to team up, blah, blah, blah. This is what sports needs.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
sports
I love it.
Needs a little bit of intensity.
Like, I love the Celtics fans booing the crap out of and harassing without throwing stuff Kyrie, and I love Kyrie stepping on the logo and making them, you know, you feel it, you know, like digging in at them, like even with the Knicks, like I love the Knicks fans going at Trae Young, and I thought, like, we actually talked about it in the interview with Chris, like I love the way Trae Young reacts to that. I thought that was like, okay, dude, this is how you, you know, this is how you gain favor in the league, or and then, you know, gain hate from certain people. So anyways, call to action. I had to talk a little bit of basketball. I've been watching it all weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code JOHNBOY for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wagers paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And now, Chris, the entertainer.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
I said you could bring us in, Justin.
Oh, I did not know that. I literally did not know that. You know, it's funny. I asked you literally like maybe one or two interviews ago, like, can I bring this interview in? You're like, no.
I think it was the Nick Gates interview. I was like, no, like that. I'm doing this interview. Who is this interview?
I don't feel so special anymore, guys.
Yeah. Chris, I love you, but you're not going to get the Nick Gates treatment. We're going to be a lot more casual with you.
Understandable.
I had those questions out in my head for a long time where with you, it's, you know, let me think about it for a couple hours beforehand as I'm working. We got Chris the Entertainer on. So come entertain us.
No, man, I appreciate you guys having me on, man. Bobby, always love working with you. Justin, of course. You guys have a great channel. And anytime you guys ask me to do something, I'm always excited to do it, man. So I'm always, whatever you guys want to talk about, Giants, Florida, whatever you guys want to talk about, I'm game.
All right, yeah, I have something first. So now
I have
that
something first. No,
oh, you have something
ahead.
First?
Go ahead. No.
Oh, no, because now that I totally botched the first part of that interview, when I was supposed to be the one to introduce you. Hello, this is Chris the Entertainer. You are the king of Giants YouTube. I have a burning question to ask you first. So there's two kings of New York right now, you know, and two coaches of New York that I think we consider kings. It's Tommy Thibs and it's Joe Judge.
Oh, why would you do that?
All right, I'm pandering a little bit. All right, Bobby. So I have a question for you. If you had to sacrifice one of your big toes for the success of one of those men, which coach would you sacrifice your big toe for?
Oh, man. So basically you're saying, who am I sacrificing my big toe for? A Knicks championship or a Giants championship? Essentially, that's what it's getting down to?
Well, no, maybe not even a championship, but the success of one of the two men. And however you define success,
okay,
if that
okay.
is a championship.
Nobody wants to sacrifice a toe for success. We want
If I had to sacrifice a toe, and I have a good answer for this. If I had to sacrifice a toe, and people ask me this all the time, who do you want to see win a championship more, the Giants or the Knicks? And I always say I love both teams equally. I've seen the Giants win. I've never seen the Knicks win. So I always lean towards I want to see a Knicks championship. But if it's between Joe Judge and Tom Thibodeau, I think the easy answer is Joe Judge because of his age. He's only 38 years old. If Judge is going to be good, I'm going to have him for 15, 20 years. Tibbs is approaching 70. So I would go with Joe Judge if I had to sacrifice a toe.
Yeah, we're going to try and keep Knicks and Nets talk to a minimum.
So, I kind of want to let you guys go.
We're recording that. Well, the good thing is we're recording this on a Friday before the Knicks and the Nets play, and we're putting it out on Tuesday. So we'll date ourselves if we talk about it too much. But with that, I've never seen the Nets win a championship. They've never won a championship. That is a tough battle because the Giants are much more important to me than the Nets. The Nets are my second team, but the Giants are just that much more important. But I've never seen an NBA championship, and it's so much harder in the NBA. Like your windows, I understand that this Nets window is it could be now. Or and not being, you know, sarcastic, never. It could be now or we never win a championship in my lifetime. Like, that's not a crazy thought. So I still think I'd go Giants, though, because honestly, at this point, my career, you know, being selfish for my career and stuff. And you know what? Super Bowls are more important than NBA Finals champions. Anyways.
I hear you, Bob. I respect. Listen, I probably slightly favor the Giants, but because I've never seen the Knicks win, I think I'd have to go with the Knicks. And I completely agree with you on the Nets. I think the Nets, yeah, you have a 2 or 3 year window now. I think next year, even if you don't win this year, I think next year you're going to have more players that want to sign on with this team, try to get a championship. I think you got a 2 or 3 year window here to win a championship, and then you're going to start all over again.
It will be interesting to see what happens with the Nets after this, because I think James Harden's here for the long run. Where, you know, KD and Kyrie, you could see them bouncing, but you can also see them staying here for the next 5, 6 years. I'm just interested to see what happens after those guys, like what happens with the Nets. You know, we could become like the Warriors, where we were an irrelevant franchise who became relevant, or we can just go back to being irrelevant. We'll see. But we're here to talk about the Giants anyway. So we're doing a Memorial Day relax episode. And I specifically wanted to talk to you, Chris, because this week we got news that fans are going to be at training camp this year. You know, I don't know how. I'm scared that the Giants will make it very minimal. Like, remember a couple years ago, the Eagles gave their fans one day to come to training camp, where the Giants, like, they have their fans out there all the time. My worry is that Joe Judge closes it down and is like, you know, you guys could come for 2 days. That's my worry. But if they do allow us to come like they usually do, man, I am so excited for training camp. I think it's more fun than any. It's like the most fun time of the year because it's all the draft. Everything builds up for that, and you have an entire season ahead of you.
Yeah, I've been to training camp a couple of times in my life. Obviously, I didn't go last year. I think I didn't go the year before that. I went the year before that. My first year on YouTube before I was really making much content at all, I went a couple of years before that. And, yeah, I'm definitely going this year if it's open to the public. I have to think it's going to be. I mean, they said that we're going to have full capacity stadium. So, but like you said, maybe you worry that it's going to be limited in terms of the days that they allow the fans to go. But I hope not. You know, Joe Judge seems like a cool guy. He's got the whole YouTube thing. He does the weekly, you know, he seems like he cares about the fans and their involvement with the team. So I think it'll probably be status quo and it'll be a normal training camp. At least I hope. And I'm looking forward to going, getting to meet you guys, hopefully getting to meet some subscribers and getting to watch the team, you know, close up.
We got a plan, Tony, and we could plan it right here on the show. What do you want? What are your thoughts on doing like events or even like get-togethers? Because I want to do them, but my worry is like only like 10 people show up. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like I would love to do a live event. It would be a ton of fun, but then it's like, what if like 10 people show up and it's like it's embarrassing? It's like, you know, you've seen the video of like the guy playing his like music and there's two people in the crowd. Like,
well, then you just don't go live. We do an edited video and we decide not to post it on YouTube. I don't think we'd have to worry about that though. At training camp, I think we'd have a decent amount of people there.
What do you want to do? Because I was thinking, you know, maybe we can, you know, we're two bigger people in the Giants community.
We're also big people in general.
I said it on yesterday's episode. I'm going to be skinny for training camp. I'll still be big, but I'll be
sure.
You're on a diet right now, Bobby?
Oh yeah, man. I'm going non. I am keeping my calories under 1,800 a day, and I'm exercising every morning and then playing basketball every afternoon.
You're playing basketball every afternoon, but you ain't the point guard running back and forth. You're just in the box. You're a center and you're just hanging
out
in the post.
At 29 years old, you don't have friends to have point guards. Everyone just, it's nonstop. And I'm big. So if I'm playing, like if it's just two of my brothers, I'm just playing 1-on-2 the entire time. It's like, okay, well, we'll play 1-on-2 and it's just nonstop. It's honestly the best exercise you can get. I don't know, but like, what is your like idea for an event, Chris?
For training camp? I mean, I haven't really thought it out. I want to go and enjoy it, but I don't know, maybe getting a table together, maybe doing a show, talking with each other for about an hour after training camp, giving our thoughts, maybe getting some close-ups with the players. That'd be cool. Even though I know it's tough with the audience, but you know, just being amongst the fans and I don't know, maybe like I said, setting up a table and having some kind of live show up for about an hour.
Do we have any family members that are 12 or younger?
No.
I do not.
No. All right. Then we're screwed because then that's like the best shot that we have to get up close with a player. It's like we just send, you know, because they have the autograph sessions afterwards and it's like 12 or younger. So we find a charismatic 12. This is what we can do.
We all have listeners that are 12 or under.
We definitely do.
Yeah. Have you seen some of the comments?
Yeah. Well, I mean, stop. We find a charismatic 12-year-old to be a paid internship. Paid internship.
Yeah. We give them 10 bucks. That's a lot of money to them.
There you go. It's candy store money. So then they go up and they ask players interesting questions. No, but here, all right, so I actually, what I'm going to be doing tonight on Friday night, that's how I'm spending my Memorial weekend Friday night. Tonight, what I'm going to be doing is I'm actually going and I'm riding around some various restaurants / diners. One of them's a bar. The other one's a diner. The bar is like right by MetLife Stadium. I won't give it away yet because we're in the early talks. So a bar that's right by MetLife Stadium, I believe it's right also by the horse track. So we're going to go there, scope it out, have a table. This is my dream and my thinking. We have a table during the daytime that is, you know, we're recording, we're talking to people, you know, we're recording, you know, Chris, we talk to you, Bobby, we record our PPPs, we record our regular shows with like MetLife Stadium in the background. And then boom, we have an event like at night at like a restaurant, a bar, something like that. And it's like right by the stadium. So that's my dream.
I'm all about it. I think I know the bar you're talking about. You don't have to give it away. Reds, that's the bar that's close to MetLife Stadium.
Yes.
Great bar. That's where I usually go when I go to Giants games. Yeah, I mean, I would love to do some kind of joint show or whatever at training camp. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And
how
I think
close
that's
a, do you
I
live to MetLife?
It's about an hour and a half. I'm on Long Island. It's about, that's with traffic. With no traffic, you know, 45, 50 minutes.
What about you, Justin?
I'm like 45 minutes, so I'm not far at all.
Okay, I'm about 20 hours. As soon as that training camp schedule comes out, like I'm planning it. Like I will be up there, which I'm excited to for, man. Like we haven't really got to like talk with fans and stuff like that. I think that atmosphere is going to be pretty exciting. I'm thinking about getting an RV instead of staying in a hotel and renting a car or you know having Justin be my chauffeur for the week or two that I'm down there. Like in an RV, you think people would like gravitate towards that, like having an RV and setting up shop like there in the parking lot?
Absolutely. Get a little tailgate action, get some absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
I love RVs. The only thing is I just don't want to go to the bathroom in an RV. So it's like, then I'll,
what do you do when you're driving from Florida? You pull over at a rest stop rather than go to the bathroom in the RV.
Well, I wouldn't drive the RV from Florida. I would get.
I would fly and then get the RV. I was envisioning you renting the RV and flying it down, driving it down from Florida. That's
if I had somebody to come with me, I would be down to do that. But I can't. That's like a 20-hour drive.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So let's talk about camp. What battles are you looking forward to? Like, I feel like this is the first year, Chris, where me and Justin were talking about it on an episode a couple of weeks ago. Where last year it was like left tackle, this is what I want. Like, you know, linebacker two, this is what, like, we are very clear cut on like position battles. This year, man, this team has depth. Like, what position battle are you looking forward to in camp?
You hit it right on the head. There is literally a position battle at nearly every position. Maybe not necessarily the starter, but at the running back position outside of Saquon Barkley, I think they're all battling. I think that's an interesting battle with all the guys that we've brought in there via free agency, via the draft. The edge, you know, in terms of who's going to get the majority of the snaps, I think that's an interesting position battle as well. You got O'Shane Zimenez coming back. Lorenzo Carter, of course, we drafted two edge rushers in this year's draft class. I think that's an interesting position battle. I think the secondary is pretty cut and dry outside of the slot. I think the slot could be a really interesting battle between Darnay Holmes and Aaron Robinson. And then the offensive line, I'm more so interested to see where they're going to play Lemieux. And I know yesterday they said where they were playing each one of them, but where they're going to play Lemieux, where they're going to play Hernandez, and obviously Fulton, I guess, has a chance. And I guess on the right side, but I think Parrott's the clear-cut favorite over Nate Solder.
Yeah, we were talking about it today. It is such a weird dynamic that they have all these young guys on the O-line. And Jonathan Harrison started a bunch of games in the NFL, but he gets his role at this point. But Zach Fulton and Nate Solder have started their last, like, 8 years in the NFL, you know, even more so. Like, that's got to be so weird for them. Coming into this camp and being like, I'm on the bench. This is the first time ever that I am on the bench. Especially Nate. So, I mean, Nate Solder's the head of, you know, he's like the rep for the PA. He was a team captain. You know, it might still have the biggest contract on the entire team, and he's just on the bench, you know. So it's kind of a weird dynamic with those guys. What is your focus though this time of year, man? Like, are you still like on the draft or what? Because that this is where it's like we have a hard time. Like, what do we talk about?
Well, I'm the same way, you know. Like, last year I felt like I put out too much content this time of year, and I see a lot of people putting out content, so on and so forth, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be articles, whether it be whatever YouTube. Right now, I don't try to force content because, to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot to talk about. So I'm not trying to force content. I'm not trying to jam clickbait stuff down. There's only so many times you can talk about Aaron Rodgers and all that nonsense. And yeah, I think you're kind of waiting now until training camp gets started to really start to, you know, like you said, talk about some of the positional battles, talk about how Daniel Jones is doing, things like that. But right now is kind of the dead time, but you're still trying to find somewhat interesting things to talk about with your subscribers. But obviously, this is a slow time.
Well, yeah, we've asked Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman, who do you think the Giants will upgrade at QB this year? This is my Pat Leonard question of the interview.
Hi, Pat.
he was arguing. We posted that clip on Instagram. And he was arguing with people about like why, because everyone was tagging him like, "You suck, Pat Leonard." And he was like, "It was actually a good question because of this and this and this."
That guy, and I don't try to badmouth people in the media. That guy is the ultimate clickbait writer. That guy always goes for clickbait content, clickbait questions. There's no reason for that question. We all know right now Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. Dave Gettleman, let's go over all this. Dave Gettleman literally reconstructed this entire roster, broke it down from scratch, built it up, hand-selected Daniel Jones, and then went out there and got all these pieces for Daniel Jones. He's not going to then go and turn and give away all these draft picks he's just picked up for a 2 or 3 year chance for a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers when he's tried to build up something that could be sustainable for the next 10 to 15 years. It's just not going to happen.
Now you see.
Yeah, but you know,
if Pat Leonard, because why he asked it, because he, as a journalist, I feel like you kind of have to ask the question, but it's the fact that you go and you defend it. The defense should be, as a journalist, I have to ask the question. You could say this is not a great question.
See, I get that.
I have to ask the question.
I get
but he
that,
defends
Justin.
It.
Why do you have to ask it?
You know what? I will agree with Justin on that, but it's been asked like 4 times already.
Correct.
So it's been asked. So yeah. We're done with it. You know, they've already given the answer 4 different times. It's been asked.
Yeah. How many different drops of Joe Judge do we need of Daniel Jones as our quarterback? I feel like we have that drop like 4 different times.
Not to mention, Judge isn't the general manager. Gettleman.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And they asked Gettleman about it too already. We did get Joe Judge to defend Daniel Jones for the first time though last year. That's an inside joke.
Oh, okay.
We put out a clip of like on our Wednesday. It was, I can't remember what week it was, and long story short, it was like, we really have no idea how Joe Judge feels about Daniel Jones. Yeah. He didn't draft Daniel Jones. You know, that was Pat Shurmur's guy. And he's like, he's never really came out strongly in the media. And that day he was like, that was like the first time he came out and like strongly defended Daniel Jones.
I think we're like the two channels /shows, whatever you want to call us, brands. I really do think we are like the two places of Giants content where we actually have like legitimate like says or theories that Joe Judge actually may watch what we're doing, because I know you've had some run-ins there too between the sweatshirts and the camo stuff, and you've had some run-ins there too where it's like, this can't be just a coincidence.
Well, that's why I bought the camo hat, because I started wearing the red hoodie and the Giants won like 4 games in a row, and then all of a sudden I turn it on and Judge has the red hoodie on, he's wearing it in every video. And then I saw you the camel hat, so I copied him. I bought the camel hat after he copied me.
I like it. So we were talking about media and stuff. We get tagged in a lot of – and that's actually how I first learned about you, Chris, was, you know, people asking, like, hey, what do you think about this? And they tagged – I'm like, who's the entertainer? And I also – I remember when we had you on for, like, that mega show last year where we had a bunch of content people, is when we first created our YouTube, like, I would search Talking Giants. And I'm like, oh. Uh-oh, like there's someone who already has like a YouTube that says Talking Giants. I know your channel's not called Talking Giants, but like,
yeah,
some of your I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was just the show I do with Bad Dog.
I was like, hopefully this guy doesn't hate us, you know, we're, you know, even though we've had this.
I don't hate you guys at all. What's funny is every once in a while, it'll be like, you know, once every like 2 or 3 months, I'll either see it in Bad Dog's comment after we do the show or in my comments, and they'll be like, oh, you guys are trying to steal the thunder from Talking Giants. And I'll be like, no, we've been doing this show for 3 years, 4 years on YouTube. We just called it that. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. We were so lost in the YouTube stuff. But with that, a thing that people would get tagged is like, oh, someone give, you know, talking Giants and the Anatana credentials. Mm-hmm. Is that like, I don't think one, the Giants wouldn't ever do that, but is that something you would want to do? Because we aren't like, we are fans, you know, we are like, it's like a new age, like fan media. Like if you got the invite, like, hey, you can go to the, you know, the press conferences or the Zooms and you can ask a question. Is that something you would like say yes to?
I would. Because of the ability to be able to talk to the players one-on-one, but they would hate me because I'm going to be honest, Bobby, I am not scared to call them out when I think they say ridiculous things. And, you know, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody. 2 days ago, I called out Jordan Renan. I thought he said something ridiculous on Twitter. I know you guys like him. You had him on your channel.
But oh, you would call out the beat reporters in there.
I feel like members of the media just wouldn't like me because I don't know if I would call them out during the meeting, but after the fact, I definitely would. And I don't know. I would love to be able to get more hands-on with the players and not be able to have to rely, not have to rely on people like, you know, members of the media, and I could give firsthand quotes. But so I would say yes, but I just don't feel like they'd ever give me that, give it to me.
No, they never would. And I would wow. say no. Well, one, it's just the Giants. Like if we were Bengals YouTubers and podcasters, we might get it, but the Giants they won't even let two people from the same company in, you know, like, so they're not going to let on, you know, like fan media. I wouldn't though, because then you have more responsibility to be serious and to, you know, act like a reporter and stuff. I personally like keeping that distance of like, we're not beat reporters. You know, we are fans and we pride ourselves on doing good work. And I think it's better than any of the beat reporters do, if I'm being completely honest. But it's like, I also want to keep that, like that level of distance from like that super serious professionalism, you know, journalist stuff.
Well, that kind of is what separates us from them. The fans go to us to get a fan's perspective. So yeah, I definitely get where you're going with that, but I'd be lying if I would say that I wouldn't want to have an opportunity to talk with some of the players.
Yeah, I would like it here and there, but then I would enjoy it. I want one of the beat reporters to give me like the, I want to crash one of those and like, and you know, ask a stupid question and then be done with it.
Zoom, you have that power.
I also don't want to, as we grow and you're growing too, and I know you talk to people and stuff, I also don't want to become friends with a lot of the players. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way.
I want to become like the good, like, okay, for example, Will Hernandez is somebody I would love to interview. I just think he's a cool dude. I think he'd be a fun interview, but I wouldn't want to interview him until he put out, if he had a good year this year, I'd be like, okay, now let's have you on. You know, you had a good year. Cause right now it's just like, you know, a lot of people don't like Will Hernandez and you know, he hasn't lived up to that 34 slot where it's like, I don't want to interview Will Hernandez right now because, you know, people are against him. And then if I defend him, which I have in the past, it's like, oh, you're just doing that because you had him on your show and stuff like that. So I like to be like very picky with like what we do interview wise, where I used to be like, I want to get every interview I can. Like we can interview all the bottom of the roster guys. It's like, I just don't want to anymore.
The thing that separates what we do from what they do is we don't, I'm exact. Now, again, if Nick Gates wanted to come to my channel, I would talk to Nick Gates.
But Nick Gates is good. You know,
yeah, Nick Gates is good.
People like him.
But the thing is, I think because, you know, people for WFAN or whatever, because they have those weekly shows with the players, because they know they have to rely on those players to come back, their views are kind of skewed a little bit. I think because we don't have relationships with the players, we don't have a relationship with the coach, I think people value our opinion somewhat more in certain instances because of that, because they're like, well, this guy's going to just say what he feels. He doesn't have to rely on Joe Judge to come on his show next week. No, he's going to tell you what he really feels about Joe Judge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that big time. And I think a lot of people get lost in this is, especially as they grow, and I've seen people, it's like they start making connections and stuff. And, you know, there's like this whole idea of like, you know, don't burn any bridges. Even if you don't like someone, don't say something. Where it's like, but at the end of the day, you're trying to put out a good product, you know, like we're not trying to become friends with the Giants players and coaches. If some of them of them like us along the way, like that's what happened with Nick Gates. Like I liked Nick Gates from the very beginning and he played well. And then, you know, there was a connection there where it's like, you know, we liked him. You know, It's like, I always remember, it's like, I want the audience to be my friend, not the New York Giants players and coaches and stuff.
Yep. I think, you hit it on the head right there. I think you hit it on the head.
Yeah, like Pat Leonard. Really... Like, I don't like Pat Leonard, and I will say that to his face. Like, you know, I don't like Matt Lombardo. I don't like Kim Jones.
Oh, my God. What did Matt Lombardo? Oh, yeah. Matt Lombardo, I called him out this week, too. He said that
he's a blogger now. He's irrelevant.
Yeah, he said if the Giants have any intentions of competing this year, they need to trade for Julio Jones. What are you talking about?
it's the when he left NJ.com for the G-Men HQ blog, he became irrelevant. So he has to do that. Like, he became so irrelevant when he left NJ.com. And then they've seen, like, Rosenblatt's a good friend of ours. Like, he has done a much better job than Lombardo. And that's my thing. Like, I want to be friends with people that I would be friends with in real life, not just because they can be a connection. Like, you know, I could get, if I wanted to, I could be friendly with Matt Lombardo and Pat Leonard and make connections. Like, I don't like them, so I don't want to be friends with them.
I'm with you on that.
Well, Chris, you know, I think Bobby said, you know, you want to basically create a community of people that you kind of want to be friends with. And Chris, I think really more than anyone else, just by number one, sheer numbers, and then number two, kind of the relationships you have with, you know, your listeners and then people just abroad. I think you've done a great job of that. So one of the questions that I want to ask you, you know, because I honestly thought that maybe you crept into 2016 where you were making content 2016 when the Giants had like a big year. But no, you have really been going and you've grown this much since the Giants have been largely a losing football team, transitioning from one quarterback to the next. So really, I want to ask you, you know, not only as a fan, because we're fan content creators, but also because we're fan content creators, I also think we root kind of a little extra hard for the football team since there's more eyes on what we're doing when the team does win. So I want to ask you, you know, heading into this year, you know, being as, you know, kind of as big as you are, how excited are you for this year? You know, whether it is as a fan, whether it is as a content creator, a brand, a channel, whatever, how excited are you to tackle this year knowing that even if the Giants aren't good, there's expectations. And if they are good, I mean, things are just going to skyrocket really for all of us, which is a really exciting thing.
First off, I appreciate the kind words, Justin. I think you guys do a fantastic job too. But when I first started to that, I actually started after the draft when we took Barkley. I didn't even start pre-draft. I started like that regular season, which was 2018. And I have not been on YouTube since the team's been good. And that's what I'm looking forward to most this year is it's really the first, I'm not going to lie, 2018, I had moderate expectations for the team. Like, I didn't think they were going to completely flop. I thought Eli could rebound. I actually didn't hate the Shermer hire when we made it. He was coming off a good year as an OC, you know, with Minnesota. And I thought maybe he could revitalize Eli for a year or two getting Barkley. I hope the offensive line would come together. We were aggressive. But I didn't have the expectations I have this year because this was a young team that showed growth throughout the year. And then we went out there and we brought in a bunch of mercenaries that could put this team over the top. So as a content creator, and as a fan, I mean, I'm so excited, not just for my channel, but the team in general. Like you said, I'm a fan. I can't wait to see what this team does this year because I think a lot of people's jobs are riding on it. I think Gettleman, I think Jones, I think Jason Garrett. I think all of them are on the chopping block this year. And I think it's going to be a really interesting season. It's the first time since 2018 where I'm going into the year saying to myself, yeah, if a couple things go right, we're going to the playoffs.
I was talking about this with the Giants rush guys yesterday. And I want to know what you're feeling like this, because Chris, I think me and you are around the same age. Kerry Collins was our quarterback. And then it was, you know, like we were a pretty good team, went to a Super Bowl. You know, what was our record the year we lost to the 49ers?
Oh, the 49ers? Probably like 10-6 or 11-5.
But we were like a decent team, and then it was like 4-12, Eli Manning's the QB. So like the transition happened very quick from Kerry Collins, who was, you know, a semi-successful QB, to Eli Manning. I essentially have only known Eli for my whole life. Like, I knew Kerry Collins, but like Eli Manning is my QB. I was saying to this, and I want to know what your feelings are. I hate this, like, Daniel Jones year three. Is he the guy, like, type things. Like, I didn't have to deal with that my entire life. Yeah. You know, and my brother's a Redskins fan, and I would be like, it's kind of got to suck that you're doing a new QB every year. Right? Like every single year you guys are rolling out a different quarterback. Like, I just don't know what that feels like. Even if you didn't think Eli was going to be good that year, it's like Eli's the quarterback, and that's that. I just hate this feeling of unknown about Daniel Jones right now? Like, what are your thoughts going into year three and also a year where we have two first round picks? And I know the talking point of trading up if we need to has, you know, been there since it happened.
Yeah. I said that ever since I've been a fan, but specifically when I first started on YouTube, I'd always get people that hated Eli Manning. They're like, oh, we can't wait to get him out of here. And then as soon as we drafted Daniel Jones, get Eli Manning out of there. And I always said, I always told everybody, and I always said this long before it was on YouTube, when Eli Manning finally does move on, people are going to realize how much they took him for granted because of what you just said. Every Sunday for 15 years, you knew he was going to line up under center and you didn't have to worry about a quarterback controversy. You knew he was going to go out there and he was going to produce and he was going to be able to win you football games. As far as this year goes, I hate to label it that way because I think Daniel Jones has enough pressure as is as the quarterback. But I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, with the way the NFL is nowadays with the rookie salaries, he'll be in the same situation Darnold was if he fails and the Jets, Giants have a poor year. And like you said, the Giants will have two picks to be able to move up and get a quarterback if they so choose to. But I honestly do think this, and I'm not, I think you guys are higher on Jones than I am overall. I actually think Jones is going to have a good year this year. I really believe that. I think Jones is going to have a good year this year. And even with that good year, I'm still not 100% committed to thinking he's a franchise quarterback. I still don't know if he's going to be that Eli Manning for 15 years, because in the back of my head, I'll say, well, yeah, he got better, but they also got him a lot more help. Is he going to be able to sustain this once he gets that big payday? But yeah, this year, I do think Jones is going to respond to the critics. I think he's going to have a good year.
And with that, he could have an MVP year this year. I wouldn't pay him this year. I would be like, we are not paying you after year three. We have year four and then the year five option, because it hasn't been shown consistently enough. Where after his rookie year, I loved him, coming out of the draft. And then the rookie year, I was very impressed. I get that he had fumbles, but, and I know this annoys some people, it's like, I just don't look at fumbles. Fumbles are not equal to interceptions to me when you're evaluating a young quarterback, because they're one has to do with decision-making and one doesn't. So I was, I loved Daniel Jones coming out of the rookie year. And then this sophomore year where it started out really bad, and then you have the combination of me not liking the offense at all because they switched it up on him. But he also played pretty well in the second half of the season. Nothing special, but, he had no interceptions. He had one, but it was literally off Evan Ingram's hands. But, yeah, but long story short, I would not pay him after this year. I don't care if he had 50 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Do not pay Daniel Jones after year three.
And what's so different, especially when you compare – the time where Eli kind of grew up and, became like a legitimate quarterback, won the Super Bowl within his rookie contract. Right. And then now what's, going on with Daniel Jones, it obviously is two different NFLs, but also even just two different NFLs, because now we're in a league where, unless your name is Tom Brady, the odds of you winning a Super Bowl with the quarterback that's outside of his rookie contract, it's kind of low. It's kind of low. So there's this window that the Giants have. And I think do I really want to go as far to say there's more pressure on Daniel Jones than Eli Manning? You know what? That's my next question. Who was there more pressure on? Because Tom Coughlin was ready to be thrown out of the building after week two of the 2007 season. And I'm sure everybody was ready to do the same with Eli Manning. I'm willing to make an argument there's more pressure on Daniel Jones right now, because the NFL is such a windowed center league. And that's why the NFL is so brilliant, by the way, because besides the Patriots and besides Tom Brady going wherever he wants, it is such a differing league in terms of who wins and who's good for a stretch of time. So that's my question. Chris, attack it.
Good question. Now, when you say that question, before I answer, I'm assuming you mean at this point in Eli Manning's career by comparison to Daniel Jones at this point in his career.
Yeah, okay. So I guess we're talking about heading into year three. So I
don't even think it's close. I think it's Daniel Jones. I don't even think it's close. Because let's put it in perspective. Eli Manning was definitely still struggling after 3 years. There's no doubt about it. But they were winning. And a lot of that had to do with the team around him. I always say that. I personally think Eli Manning's a more talented quarterback than Daniel Jones was coming into the NFL. But it's undeniable that Eli Manning had a much better supporting cast, and that's what allowed Eli Manning to kind of go through those growing pains. The Giants have not afforded that for Daniel Jones. This was a team that The offensive line still a major question mark. They didn't have any weapons outside of Barkley, who's been hurt for the vast majority of Daniel Jones' career so far. So this year, hopefully we got him the pieces that he needs and he could get the job done. But there's no doubt about it. Not to mention they went out there and spent a ton this year and got him as many weapons as possible. And there's no excuses being that he's been in the same scheme for the second year. So I think there's more pressure on Jones than there was on Eli. The main reason being that the team was winning at this point with Eli. Yeah.
And just the way the NFL's changed. One, social media actually – you can, whether you believe it or not, social media does have an impact on the pressure on players. And two, when they did that new CBA deal and they changed the rookie deals, it made it to where you can move on from these guys a lot quicker. Where Eli Manning was like the highest, you know, he was one of the highest paid, you know, players at the second he signed his contract, where it's like you're kind of forced into, you know, giving this guy an extra chance because you gave him all that money, where it's like Daniel Jones isn't guaranteed anything here for. You know, they can cut them and it's like a $1 million cap hit or something, you know, something like that. So I really do think that changes the dynamic. What are your expectations for the Giants? Because the bigger we get and the more we do this, I try to have to be like, you know, put the fandom aside a little bit. Yeah. But I'm expecting to win the division. Like, I get the Cowboys have a good offense. I get Washington has a good overall team and Fitzpatrick, you know, is an upgrade. I don't think he's good, but he is an upgrade what they have. So I see a lot of the outsiders like, oh, the Cowboys, Washington. But it's like me as a Giants fan, I'm like, I expect us to win the damn division.
Yeah. Same thing that you just said. I try to be as unbiased as I can, especially as we start to grow. Last year, I predicted 6 wins. They won 6 wins. So hopefully I'm right this year. I got them around 9 or 10. I think they're going to be right in the thick of the divisional race. I'm not going to guarantee it. There's a lot of questions. I think it's going to come down to let's just talk about the Giants and the Cowboys. Which unit gets better? Because last year, the Cowboys defense was horrendous. Last year, the Giants offense was horrendous. Which unit improves more? And I look at the Cowboys defense and I say to myself, are they going to be much better this year? I know they got progressively better over the year last year, but now you're bringing in all these rookies. Like, you're going to expect rookie. I don't know. So I don't think the Cowboys defense is going to be that good. I think Washington is actually the bigger threat to the New York Giants in this division, and it comes down to Fitzpatrick. I think as an overall team, Washington's pretty good. I mean, they have a really good front seven. They have an underrated offensive line. They were much better than people thought they were going to be last year. They add Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin. They've got pretty good weapons to begin with. Which quarterback ends up being better this year? I think that's your answer. If Jones is better than Fitzpatrick, I think it'll be the Giants. If Fitzpatrick is better than Jones, I think it'll be Washington.
I'm so excited to see what Washington looks like. I don't know. I know we've owned Washington the last couple of years, but whenever Bobby and I, we talk about the schedule came out. We talked about games that we were most excited for. The Giants' home schedule isn't that thrilling. I think the away schedule has a lot more like enticing teams. So I'm looking at that home schedule and hosting Washington. It's the last game of the year, right? I hope that means something. I selfishly hope that means something.
I hope it doesn't. I hope we're resting.
I hope we're 16-0.
No. We are, first of all, did we not learn anything from Tom Coughlin 2007, week 17? We never rest our starters.
Oh,
we
say rest. I want to go for 17 now.
No, I'm talking to Bobby. Rest the starters.
Me and Chris were talking about it on the phone the other day, how it's, I'm so glad the Bears game is at the end of the season. So at least 1 week, if we aren't good, we don't have to hear about tanking.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Chris, we want to thank you for coming on. I have one kind of question for you. So we've been talking a lot of, we talk about Eli. We've been talking about some players kind of throughout this. I want to know kind of from you, who are some of your favorite players that you either have, either maybe right now, current favorite players outside of maybe Jones, Barkley, or like past players that you really like, maybe besides Strahan and Eli and some of the really well-known ones. So favorite players, give them to me.
Okay, so outside of, like you said, like the headliners.
Yeah,
no Eli Strahan, no Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley.
Anybody else? I love the Monty Toomer. Brandon Jacobs, I was a big fan of, with those older New York Giants teams. Always loved Jesse Armstead. Michael Barrow was a middle linebacker I really liked, number 58. On this team, I mean, I really like Leonard Williams, but I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with his contract. I don't know why I can't say that I'm absolutely in love with him.
I'd give up a big toe for Leonard Williams.
I think that might be Justin's favorite player.
I'm a big fan of Leonard Williams. I like Leonard Williams. I think he's really good. I think some fans underrate him a little. I said going into last year, I thought it was really underrated by the fan base because they didn't like the trade by Gettleman.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Leonard Williams. I'm a big fan of his. And I like Nick Gates. I know Bobby's a big Nick Gates guy, but I love that feistiness on the offensive line. I love when he gets into fights with players. I'd probably say Nick Gates in terms of being the, I guess, the, you know, less than talked about Giants.
All right, now hear me out. The Giants have a ton, whether it's edge rusher or defensive end depth on this team right now. Why not bring in Brandon Jacobs and have him play camp? Why not? Are you down for it?
I can't believe – and listen, it'd be cool.
I was close to prank calling Big Blue Kickoff Live with this question today, and I decided not to.
I can't believe – like, I had, like, 7-8 people tell me to make a video on that. I'm like, I'm not making a video on that. I'm like, he's not going to be a new – maybe he gets an invite to camp, but the guy's 39 years old. He's never played DN before. But I think it's cool. I've always been a huge fan of Brandon Jacobs. I love Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorites. And license plate guy was telling us, like, oh, you guys should have him on. I do think I'm going to try and work at this next week and get him on and just be like, let's talk about you playing defensive end for the first 20 minutes, and then we'll talk about your career. I was going to prank call Big Blue Kickoff Live and Lance Meadow and Paul Dottino today and ask them, like, come on, like, you guys like the Tim Tebow signing, culture guy. You'd be a great vet in there. You know, it's just a 90-man roster, doesn't hurt nothing, and just really seeing if I could get them to, like, embrace it.
But really, it's not like it's 2019 where we're, like, thirsting for edge rushers. So it's like if we sign Brandon Jacobs, there's like, if he's good, do we actually have to keep him? No, there's no, there's no,
there's no way he's gonna play.
Yeah, yeah. So just sign him. Just sign him and have him play. Have him play training camp. I'm for it.
That is such a that's like what the Mets did with Tebow. Like when the Mets brought Tebow in, it was like, you know, he's never gonna play, but you're just doing this for publicity. I guess the Jaguars are doing with Tebow now.
Did you hate the Mets bringing Tebow in?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, I hate you.
Because it was such I wouldn't have hated it if it was any other team, but it's because it's my team and the Mets have that reputation, especially then before they got the new owner, of being, you know, as cheap as possible and looking for every little way to make money. I knew it was an easy target to attack the Mets. So, yes, when the Mets brought him in, I was not a fan.
All right, we're going to finish off with this. This episode's coming out on Tuesday. It is currently Friday. What will the Knicks series be like when this episode comes out?
Oh, no. Don't do this.
What do they got? Two games before
I'm assuming
then?
They have two games in between. Even if they play on Monday, which would be a three-day rest, that'd be game three and four, both in Atlanta.
No, they play Sunday. I know that. So they're playing tonight and Sunday. And then I think game five is Tuesday. But this will be out before then. So I'm gonna say we get a split in Atlanta. I think it'll be 2-2.
Do you hate Trae Young?
Oh, yeah. But the thing I can't stand about, like, people who defend Trae Young, and obviously the guy who spit on him, that guy's a scumbag. But I'm just talking about, like, the chance that the crowd says, like, give me a break. Like, are we that soft now where people in the crowd start to say F you Trae Young during a playoff basketball series?
Trae Young likes that. Like, I don't, people shouldn't be like, oh, why would they? Like, I like that. Like, Trae Young enjoys that. And that's kind of why, he's a new young player. And I do think people are like, you know, there is a Knicks for clicks type thing, but there's also like a Trae Young is a very exciting player. It's his first playoff game, and he balled out in that game. I get he had a couple of ticky tack fouls at the end, but he balled out. And then he balled out. Like, he wasn't the reason they lost in game two. Like, they lost that lead while he was on the bench. He comes back in and he found DeAndre Hunter open like three times in a row, and he missed all the shots.
They couldn't hit their shots. The Knicks adjusted their defense in the second half.
Yeah, so it was like Trae Young played. It's like Trae Young on the playoffs, like, stage has played really well, and that's why he's a young, exciting player. So I do like him, and I like the way he embraced the Knicks crowd.
I do. I'm gonna give him. I hate the guy. Well, he's playing my Knicks, but I'll give him credit. He definitely handled it pretty well. But I'm gonna talk smack at him the entire way because.
Oh yeah, and you should. But like game two when you guys were up with like 2 minutes left and you got F you Trae Young and he looked back and smirks. So I was like, I like that. Like, I like those type of players. And it did make me like him a little more.
I think it adds to the series. I think it adds to the intrigue.
Yeah, it's a fun series. Especially, I mean, these playoffs have been very boring.
Yeah.
especially on the east side. Like it has been a fun series. Both games have been really close. Where, you know,
Bucks, the one thing though,
Nets Celtics has been boring. Sixers Wizards has been boring.
The one thing though,
I can't stay up for the West Coast games.
I'll say this though, the one thing, Bobby, the media and the fans, they need to slow down with this Trae Young and Reggie Miller comparison, because he is nowhere near Reggie Miller yet. They need to calm down with that. That I don't agree with. I get that the Knicks crowd is going at him, but he's got to earn that before people start talking. Well,
and about the it. Knicks need to be better for it to be that, you know?
Yeah. Where
it's like the Knicks have to be, you know, you guys are good and you have a big fan base, so you're relevant. But it's like the Knicks, like that has to be like an Eastern Conference, like, you know, like the winner of that series is like favored in the finals or in the East finals or something.
Yeah.
You know, not like a first round matchup, but it's been fun. I love the NBA playoffs.
Oh, well, I love it when the Knicks are in there. When they're not, I could care less, but
yeah.
Who's your team, by the way, Justin?
Who's my team? I'm still a New Jersey Nets little follower, but also I have to say, I've wanted to stay up and watch the playoffs, the NBA playoffs, but my sleep apnea has been preventing me from doing so, and I have been falling asleep earlier recently. So that's my take on the NBA playoffs, sleep apnea.
Honestly, Chris, I could talk with you with NBA for an hour, but we'll end it here. Everyone knows, you know, go subscribe to his channel, check his stuff out. He's been good to us, and we like Chris. Chris, the entertainer. When people see you in public, do they call you Chris or the entertainer?
I mean, there's only been maybe 5 or 6 times where people have noticed me from my YouTube channel. And I think they call me the entertainer, if I remember correctly. Most people are just like, you're the Giants guy from YouTube, right? That's what I've gotten a couple of times. Well, actually, quick story. I had one guy, I used to have a part-time job that I don't have anymore, where I worked at a chicken place. I was delivering chicken. And he walked in and I was at the counter and he gave me this look, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what's with this guy? This guy want to beat me up? And he gave me this look and he looked at me funny for like a minute, and he got his food. He sat down, he ate, then he went to the bathroom. And then on the way out, he looks and stares at me again. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I thought I did something to the guy. And he comes rushing up to the counter and he shoves his phone in my face. And he shows me all my videos, and he watched them all to their entirety. I saw the red line all the way. He's like, I watch every one of your videos. You're the Giant guy, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. But, yeah, it's pretty cool when you get to meet a few people that know. You probably don't get it because you're in Florida so much. But
well, I have one person knew, like saw me at a Wawa, and they said, hey, talking Giants. And I thought they had just seen, like, a sticker on the back of my truck and said, like, I thought they were just a Giants fan. And then he had messaged me later. But now it's like, besides that, I haven't, you know, when I went up to New Jersey, I met up with a couple of people I knew. But what I do get is people that live in my city, they'll see the stickers that I put on, like, you know, like the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru and stuff. And so there's like a good handful of people in my county who are like talking Giants fans, which is pretty cool. You know, where it's like, I get a tweet where it's like, hey, look, I saw your sticker at this place.
That is pretty cool.
So that was pretty cool. But hopefully, hey, when we go to training camp, hopefully a lot of people will notice us and come hang out with us, because I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Chris, we'll see you there. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the varsity.
All right, Chris the Entertainer, thank you so much for coming on King of Giants YouTube. You know where to find him, the Entertainer Talking Sports. So, Bobby Skinner, I have a question for you. Father's Day is coming up. Is your father a relatively hairy man?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Well, with Father's Day around the corner.
He has long hair like me, but not. I don't know about the undercarriage stuff, though, but.
Well, no, not even undercarriage. I actually have a story to tell. So this episode is also sponsored by Manscaped. And Manscaped has a Lawnmower 4.0, new product that they launched a while ago. We helped launch it, which I think is kind of cool. But yeah, so I actually, one of my best friends, I actually gave him the Lawnmower 4.0. I bought one myself, and I said, here is a Lawnmower 4.0. I used promo code Giants for 20% off and free shipping. And this is a friend who gets also very uncomfortable by talking about uncomfortable things like your balls. So he's like, can I use it on my face? Could I use it on my body? So he actually did use it on his body, and it worked. It worked for him. Like, he used it scruff up the chest hairs and stuff like that. So maybe you're wearing a polo, maybe you're wearing a tank top going on the beach Memorial Day, and you're starting to show the guns and you want to kind of clean up the hair that's on the arms and the chest. That can happen too for the Lawnmower 4.0. So it's Father's Day, Bobby. Father's Day is coming up. Stop imagining your dad has it covered because he probably doesn't. So get your father some Manscaped products for Father's Day and use promo code GIANTS at checkout when you go to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode. Bobby Skinner.
Thank you, Manscaped, and thank you, Chris, for coming on. We'll be back on Friday. We have minicamp from Wednesday to Friday, so we will be talking a little bit about minicamp on Friday's episode. Might tag something on it. I haven't even mentioned this adjustment. I'm gonna try and get something done that we can do for Friday's show. We'll see if it happens. But if it doesn't, then I'm never gonna tell you what I'm talking about. And then I will if someone asks me, because I have the word. I'm very bad at keeping secrets. So anything else, Justin, before we end this until Friday?
No. Again, happy Memorial Day. Hope you all are relaxing. Getting antsy for football, Bobby. Getting antsy for football. We're in the month of June. You know, July is really going to be the month where we're really going to sniff it, and it's really going to kind of be there. We're really going to get shaken. You know, when is that training camp schedule going to be announced? And then we can really, you know, start booking you to come up here for a week, and we can really roll out some pretty fun stuff, and we can have a really fun week. So, itching for football. But enjoy your time before then, too.
For sure. I am enjoying it, to be honest. I've been playing a lot of basketball. How about that? I'm gonna be good at basketball again by the time training camp starts. And then,
can you spin a ball on your finger?
Yeah, barely. I'm not great at it. I know you can too. You can do it with a football.
Yeah.
See, you act like I don't pay attention to you. I remember everything.
Oh, thank you.
Alright, that's an episode. We'll see you guys on Friday. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one. And thank you guys for listening.